We're just going to have to do the best we can with this wind. It's obviously going to be a little challenging for us, so we'll do the best we can. If everybody would join me in an opening prayer, I would appreciate it. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for allowing us to gather today at Deer Springs Ranch as friends and family. We pray, Lord, that you would guide us, your Spirit would guide us in our hearts and our minds as we discuss issues and make decisions about the ranch. We thank you, Lord, for all of the wonderful things that you brought into our lives. We also thank you for the challenges that you give to us, which help us grow and mature as individuals. We pray, Lord, that you would help us all work together as a Deer Springs Ranch family for the benefit of all. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So we'll start out with a roll call. And Jennifer, you're going to...
I lost swear words. I want to start a control trigger last year.
Okay, and let's start over here. We'll just go around and everybody give us your name and lot number.
Controller 15. And
129. Thank you. All right. Did we get all that? Cindy, did we get all that? All the lot numbers and names?
Jennifer usually. Oh, I'm going to say we'll have it.
Okay. All right. Well, we should have it on the recording, hopefully, but we'll see how that goes. We're not sure the recording's going to work that well today with the wind. And again, just as a reminder, we do try to record these meetings and go back after the fact and do a transcription so we have a written record of all of the information. So if you are going to make any kind of comments or questions during the meeting, please make sure that you announce your name and then state the question or comment. The last meeting we did last month, the speaker up here actually picked up everything pretty well, but even for people that were sitting in their seats. But if you're comfortable with it, we'd prefer to have you stand up if you have a question or a comment. Come up closer to the microphone so it'll pick it up a little bit better. Okay. And we will start. Oh, you already have one? With the presentation and approval of the meeting minutes from last month. So take it away, Cindy.
So I submitted the minutes to the board members and received no corrections. So I move that we accept the minutes as submitted.
I'll second your motion.
All right. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Meeting minutes have been adopted. Next, Mr. Joe Bose with the treasurer's report.
Unfortunately, I couldn't get into the banks. I don't know what our statements are.
How much money have you got in the bank?
I tried getting on, and I couldn't get in. As far as the dues, we got, we collected 95.5%. We're in good shape. I've gone over the whole budget. As far as the budget goes, we're under most of it on every category, so we're in good shape. I don't have them all memorized, but if you have any questions, we've passed them out. We can look at them. And the only thing I don't have is the bank statement.
Thank you. So feel free to look at the numbers. If you have questions later, you can ask them later. Okay? Joe, anything else?
That's about it.
Okay. And Jennifer?
Yes, sir.
Did you get the...
No, it's going to take me a bit because it's used to be in the computer.
Okay.
So I'll have to...
All right. No rush. We have money in the bank, and we're mostly below budget. So I think that's what everybody cares about the most. And if you want details, we can certainly provide them for you. Office report when you're done with that, Jennifer?
No, I got the office report ready to go.
Okay.
Shocker.
Cool.
Let's see. Water hauling, we have 20 current agreements for 2022 thus far. Kurt is keeping track via his online form, I hope. But anybody that hasn't yet gotten their water hauling in, by all means, please do that, because I've only got 20 contracts, and that seems light for this year. Let's see. New members. It's been busy. In May, since our last meeting, we have 6 new members. In June, as of this date, we have 4 new members. We have 1 pending that will probably close before the end of this month. And we have 3 lots currently listed for sale in the public database. 16, 89, and 194 are for sale. Let's see, past due assessments. We have 3 that are more than a year overdue, meaning 21 and 22 are due, and then an additional 9 that are overdue for 2022. That's about where we were last year. So that is not out of the norm. We'll begin pursuing the 3 that are 2 years past due. Let's see. For those of you that were expecting communication from me in early June, sorry, we had an email situation. We had an unplanned migration of our email server, which affected our version of Microsoft Office, which required a whole bunch of fixing that affected the ability to invoice and do cabin reservations and a bunch of other things. So we've gotten that fixed, but there's going to be a bit of a tail for the next few weeks because we lost all of our contact lists. We're sending out important things like meeting notices and documents and things like that. So be patient is what I'm asking there. Just a note on cabin reservations, probably not a big deal for anybody in this group, but we can't have people assuming that an extension is available in the moment, and Kurt and Cindy don't have access to the reservation system, so asking them if a person can stay for another day is not the most efficient way to do it, and extensions are not going to always be available, even though the calendar shows they may be, because there could be something else behind the scenes, like maintenance that we found out needs to be done before the next person checks in. We've got a lot of cabin reservations on the books, so even though in the past that might have worked, it's just a challenge right now, and there's a lot of paperwork that goes with an extension. And a fee. But also...
So Jennifer, what's the best way... If somebody is going to request an extension, what do they need to do?
I put this in the Member Matters email, okay, so everybody should be aware. 48 hours is preferable, and communicate with DSROA at DeerSpringsRanch.org, not Cindy and Kurt. They can say, well, it's possible, we think, but that's all they can do. So, yeah,
okay.
Communicating DSROA email is the best way to go. And also, just a friendly reminder, checkout time is 10 a.m. because our cabin management crew needs to do a lot of things before the next people come in, and we've got a lot of back-to-back reservations. I don't think that that's being taken into consideration by a lot of cabin renters. And last but not least, a big win. Since we had to put DocuSign in place to get all of our minutes electronically signed, I started thinking about ways that it could be used for other systems. So I don't think anyone in this group has been the one who's sending it yet, but we can now send out water hauling contracts for electronic signature. We can now send out, obviously, the minutes. We can also send out reservation acknowledgments.
Waivers
via electronic signature. And DocuSign provides, in the background, kind of a repository of all those documents that's much easier to use than the spreadsheet that I have been using and chasing down signed forms that sometimes get handed to Kurt, sometimes get mailed to our PO box, sometimes get handed in here. So DocuSign is going to continue our progress toward a more portable and modern
updated
system.
Updated.
If I can say that. let's see. Yep, that's all I have.
Do you want to talk about having reservations for the film?
Oh, yeah. I don't know if anybody knew about this last year, but we had a production company approach us. They want to shoot a Western. They're based in Southern California, and they want to shoot a Western. They scouted up here at the ranch, and they think it's just perfect. So they are going to be coming to the ranch right after the annual meeting, September 11th. They'll be here through October 8th. And part of the deal is they have reserved a large number of cabins at the non-member rate, which maybe you don't know is $145 a night. So they have rented 9 of our 11 cabins for that period of time, and it's going to be about $32,000 in revenue for us. And that's more than double what we normally budget for cabin revenue. They've been very professional, very easy to work with thus far. They will have a production plan to us by mid-August, which will help us communicate with the membership what's going on in what parts of the ranch. But they have said that they don't envision using the main roads at all because they're shooting a Western and backcountry and horseback, and some of the probably lesser used roads will be part of their shooting plan. As soon as we have that, we will communicate with the members, but it's a huge opportunity for us in revenue, and they understand the nature of the ranch. They're very respectful of our requests that they treat it respectfully, and I have no concerns in all the dealings I've had with them thus far. So it's overall, I think, a great opportunity.
Is there a plan for overseeing their activities? They know where they can go and they can't go and what they can do.
They will be, that's a great question, Dan. I'm glad you asked that. They'll be provided with the geo-tagged map of the ranch, so they know where private property is. So people that aren't familiar with this, we have a geotag map that we're working on getting out to all members. It's still being tested and corrected and refined. But there's an app on your phone that's satellite-driven, and you can put, I say phone because I used to keep my phone here, sorry. So it's on your phone. And anywhere you are on the ranch, the map of all of the lots is overlaid, and you can see at any point in time, even when you're on a road that's ranch-owned, if you're on also somebody's lot, they will be using that as well.
Another issue that comes to my mind is extreme fire danger. And, I mean, wind, dry, and a drought. You know, if there's any of our smokers,
another great point, Dan. We will provide them with the fire restriction document that's current at the time they're here, and they will, of course, have to abide by that. It's not just our law, it's state law. So, absolutely.
How many people are we looking at for 9 or 11 cabins?
Between 35 and 40 people. Because they've asked for between 35 and 40 beds, which is how I reserve the cabins. So as of right now, cabin 7 and cabin 1 are still available to members during that time. I tried to configure their cabins so that we had more than one available for members. Once this is all finalized, there may be another one that pops open available. So,
and my other question is, because they are not members, still renting cabins out, what does that do to the issue? I can see this number of people have a lot of fun going in. Is there anything to
We haven't talked about it. I really doubt that they're going to be having any time other than their production.
Yeah, they're going to be busy.
I don't believe that. It's so beautiful out here. It's like, my God, someone goes and catches something and just wipes everybody off.
Yeah,
I just don't want non-members getting out.
that's definitely something that can be discussed with them. But my understanding is they're going to be here under a pretty tight times crunch to produce what they're trying to produce. I don't think they're going to be hiking and sightseeing and fishing and mountain biking or anything else other than.
One other question is there a
individual
charge that we can
I nominate her. No, the production company.
The production company.
Of the production. Yeah. Yeah, there will be, absolutely. Yeah, he's got, there's going to be a whole, my understanding is going to be there's going to be a whole production plan provided to us with the staff, who they are, what their responsibilities are, what their timing is, because to Larry's point, they're going to be in a very tight turnaround to get the footage they need, and they've got to have a plan. They don't just meander on around and go, maybe we should shoot this time. So I imagine that's going to be part of the plan that they provide as well, but I'll be sure it is. Larry, Sam. Nope. Different. Completely different production.
Kevin 64. And from the other side of this thing, we're going to be taking care of the cabins. I mean, obviously, they're not expecting room service.
They are well aware of what our cabin. They were out here scouting last year, so another great question. And that's Kevin Poole, because I don't think your voice carries. I think that they are very aware of what the cabins are. And I don't know that they're even going to use our linens. I think they may bring their own, but that's something still to be discussed.
You're talking about killing work campers if they're maintaining.
Yeah, they're.
Nope.
They, just so you guys know, they had a formal proposal submitted to the board last year. So it was all reviewed and approved by the board. They were planning to do the production last year, but it got pushed off. So that's why they're doing it this year instead. But yeah, they're going to be very professional. But, Dan, I like what you said about we need to make sure we're in control of what they're doing while they're here. And that's definitely going to be part of it.
Specifically designated individuals.
Yeah.
Just out of curiosity, how do they find out?
A member referred them.
Yeah, they're friends, or one of the people is friends with one of the owners here.
I've been, just so everybody here knows, I've also been approached by an individual that knows that I own property here, saying, hey, if I've got a production company looking for a good Western set, are you open to having your ranch scouted and proposal given? And I said it has to go in front of the board, but I would happily, you know, present that as an option.
Who is it?
That is Steve Amanti. Steve Amanti is my guest.
I'll be honest with you. I wasn't aware that the lock wasn't on it anymore. I just assumed the lock had always been on it. So
we could create a lock. But if you're aware of people that are hauling that shouldn't be hauling, that should be made known, you know, let Kurt know or board member or somebody so we can follow up with. Who is it? What's going on?
Kurt is the primary contact for the water hall. So if anything needs to happen, make sure Kurt's aware of it. And I'll ask him.
Yeah. Are they full and leaving?
Yeah.
What were they driving? Oh, do you remember what they were driving?
A while back, I don't remember now, but I know we've run into a few people. Like, one person was trying to find Vance's lot because he could see it from their lot. Like, what does that matter? Oh, because I see it on the video camera.
Right.
wanted to go see it in person. We're like, well, you realize that's private property.
You can't.
Right?
He was going to go over there angry. Like, that's not a good idea.
What? Yeah.
So, good idea. You were talking about it as well. Something needs to be put on there. Lots of combinations.
Yeah.
The people who have paid are those that are allowed to use.
Absolutely. I thought that's the way it always has been.
Not down here. Not since they cut off Meadow Canyon, one by the, down below the upper cabin. Can't get water from there anymore. So this should be a priority, getting some kind of a system on there that you've got to have approval. And I think that's what happened this year. They checked with Kurt to make sure that your name is on the list and having been paid. But a better idea, Kurt's not here. You got the lock combination, that means you pay.
Right.
As long as they pay you, they don't get there. There.
Yeah, no, that's the way it should be.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, people shouldn't be able to just drive up and get water and drive away. No. Thank you for that.
So I thought there was rules that non-members can't rent that far out in advance. Is it the quantity and the dollar amount that
I don't think there's a rule about non-members and any timing. I can go back and look.
We were looking to buy. We tried to rent one 2 months ahead of time. And Mariah said, no, you can't do it. It's only within the month.
30 days. Non-members can only rent something.
You're talking about making a reservation.
Making a reservation.
I've never heard that.
I'll go look it up.
I don't know if it will change or if they change all.
Well, even if there is a rule, this is kind of a special situation because they've got so many people and they're planning things well in advance. So even if there was a rule, I would say, you know, this would be an opportunity to have an exception to it. But I wasn't exactly.
Yep.
But I wasn't aware that there was any restriction on that. Anyway, so we'll have to check it.
We've done it before many times. We've had people from Europe and every place else come in here, and they had to pay $190 a night for it. But we've had it to happen quite a few times.
Reserving far in advance.
Yep. No, not as far in advance. They've cut right at the last minute thing. But I can't speak to far in advance because I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'll look into that. That's interesting. I've been through the rules and regulations a lot in the last few weeks for various reasons. That one didn't jump out at me.
I just remember Mariah said they wanted to leave the cabins open for members
to be able
up
to
until
rent.
30 days.
Oh, well, the last possible moment.
Okay.
I understand why that might have been in place, but I don't think it applies here.
Well, because we understand it's a member rant.
Right. Exactly. No, that makes sense.
But that's why they're paying the $145 a night, too.
Yeah. Okay, any other questions on anything we've talked about so far? Woo!
That's $145 a night.
145 a night per cabin. Yep.
We have a question over here, Mike.
Oh. Any big name stars?
I've heard Tom Cruise, but I'm not sure.
He was very, very cagey about what the movie is and who's going to be in it.
Interesting, so there could be some autograph.
You know what? He could be going both directions, like making us believe they're big stars by not telling us or hiding big stars. I don't know. I'll let everybody know what I know when I know it. Okay. Anything else?
Okay, moving on.
Okay.
If you want an autograph, Cindy Crawford is right back there.
Whoa!
By Cindy Photos up here, Cindy Crawford's back here.
2 years.
Podunk Cindy.
I
prefer Podunk Cindy.
Okay, next on our agenda is the property management report, but Kurt had to leave to go take care of a problem with one of our cabins.
I know a little bit I could talk
so
about.
So we will let Cindy give us our property management report.
Such as it is. We have ducklings. We have piglets, and we have ducklings. Let's see, what else is going on?
Jay
Station is operational.
Are they owned by Kurt, or is that the ownership of the...
No, are they are. Okay. They're here at the ranch.
Okay.
So.
Yeah.
They're Kurt's. But they're yours to enjoy. Just don't eat them.
Yet.
Don't get too attached, because I think there's bacon in Kurt's future.
I'm vegan except for the bacon.
Okay.
What else is going on? Jay Station's operational. Oh, cabins are all open and in good shape.
Okay, open.
Floor is almost finished. Just need the cabinetry, the kitchen cabinets in, but it's real cute now. Any questions?
Cabinets?
No.
No, they're not in
there. Okay.
Is that the one you're working on?
Yeah.
Which one?
Four.
Do we have an update, Scott?
It's in progress.
I'm going to work on them this weekend.
Yay!
I won't get them done.
Okay.
I'll finish. Okay.
So that was, for the people on Zoom, that was Scott, who's working on cabin 4, saying he's going to be working on the cabins this weekend. He's working on cabinetry, so he's working on them, but it won't be done this weekend. Okay. And Cindy, anything else in terms of property report? Does anybody have any questions about things going on headquarters around the ranch?
Candy, I don't think you want to talk.
I was just curious if Larry's decision has been made and how to take care of the chemically induced wind by the runway or by Van Green's place that are dead that could be a fire hazard. I know you attempted, Larry, to go in there and do something, but reported that it didn't work. What is our plan? Because it should be a priority. Ranch manager, whatever, get that taken care of. But I don't know where we are with it.
Yeah,
so that's why I'm asking.
We talked this morning and made a decision to take a water truck and the mower up and knock some of that down. It's still, it's still too pliable and vibrant. It won't break off and crush up like we thought it would. I took my dozer and knocked a bunch of it down, and 90% of it sprung right back up. So it doesn't, not enough of it is dead enough to be very effective. The problem with mowing it is you increase the chance of fire by 200-fold mowing it rather than just staying away from it. 99% of damaging fires are caused by human beings. So if no human being goes over there, there won't be any fire over there.
Well, my question was, the reasoning behind what was done was part of the Brad Hunt program. And I was just curious if the follow-up was to his program to do something about it, or what his plan was. If anyone had actually contacted him to find out where we go from here, what he's going to do.
I don't think he's going to do anything, but we have talked about getting this week to go ahead and if we do anything at all, we have to take extreme measures of
prevention.
We're not taking a water truck there because the likelihood of us going and causing a fire is much higher than us leaving it alone. And
can it be chilled into the ground?
It could be, but the problem is, I mean, I could completely blade it off and create a fire break, but then that's going to be a dust problem. It's going to be a racetrack for anybody that wants to zoom around on a Jeep or an ATV, and I think that would make Vance even madder to have 30 or 40 or 50 more people going over by there driving by rather than things along. We're solving one problem and creating another problem, and then solving a problem and creating another problem. So
at a minimum, we talked about putting, we're planning on putting a water truck that could be used for fire suppression in that area, so that if something springs up, the water's already there, we can get to it much, much faster.
I know it was a major concern of man.
Yep.
Yeah. Right.
I was going to take care of it. I just wanted to hear what you thought.
We appreciate your confidence.
Thank you, Gannon. Okay. All right. Any questions about anything else going on at Grant?
So last winter, Kurt was saying they were going to rush on and drop off the roof, but it never happened. So after winter, I asked him if there's a plan B. He said yes. Next week, he was going to rush on it, but that was in March. So, because I offered to go do it with my little tractor. Last year, there was a cow down in the ditch, and the bushes are so big we couldn't see it, so we stepped out in front. So, I'm like, oh, the back broken. But he said there's a plan. They have a plan, or he has a plan, or you guys have a plan.
The plan's never...
But it never has materialized.
I think what he was talking about was part of the brush, rabbit brush mowing that was part of the hunt cattle program, and Norris Church was going to come out and mow, and then it didn't. It just never happened.
Right. He was going to mow, and Kurt was going to spray or something.
Right, the chemical
but
stuff.
But then the temperatures warmed up, and he said there was still a plan to just mow it down and worry about it another year. I haven't gone down there and done it. He hasn't done it. So it's just,
nobody's done it.
So it's just getting worse. So,
it's been a couple years now.
So if there's not a plan, can I go do it my dang self, or is there a plan?
I would say yes. Anything that people can do that is helpful, it's your safety. I've tried, as I've moved equipment around back and forth, I've knocked down brush and trees, anything that's causing a visual impairment, and I think it's a fire hazard. I think it's it prevents us from creating a proper drainage on the roads, and it improves vision when you're coming around a corner or up through somewhere. If you can't see a cow popping out of the ditch, or a kid on a four-wheeler, or a vehicle coming around, unless it's at night and you see their headlights, or it's in the day and they're going fast enough to make dust, which is too fast to be safe, you're like, you know, have no clue somebody's coming around the corner until you meet head on.
Right.
If you can, you have a mower on your little tractor, or are you just going to knock it down?
I don't.
My personal opinion is I don't think anybody on the board or the ranch would say, no, don't do that.
Well, and the other thing is, I'm not aware of any plan per se other than what you've already talked about being in place for the future. So I don't think there is a plan that, you know, whatever the plan was, if it didn't happen, I think they're probably just going to, you know, it's probably not going to happen.
The other thing to be aware of is, obviously, the best time to mow and destroy the brush is drying, but that's also the highest likelihood of a mower starting a fire. So if you do mow, I would say definitely have a fire extinguisher or a backpack sprayer, something that if something small fire starts, you can put it out before it's a big fire.
Yeah, because there's rocks and stuff under there that can get...
Yeah,
definitely. But what you talked about, Jeff, is it's good for us to talk about this because, I mean, I personally think that, you know, we're all owners, we're all, you know, members, and, you know, instead of just driving by a problem, like, for example, I've personally gone out and I've used weed killer to kill weeds on the road. I've personally gone back and chopped off a limb of a tree that was hanging over a road that was going to be a problem for somebody running into it. And I mean, something as simple as seeing a big rock in the middle of the road, stopping, picking it up and, you know, throwing it over the side. I mean, that's something that we should all be doing all the time as owners. So thank you. And neighbors, exactly.
Yeah, me too. I got two of them today on the way out here.
Oh, wow. I started collecting them in a little jar. Well, I don't remember who it was, but I heard a story about somebody driving over a rock and having it take out their transmission or whatever, and it's a $2,000 repair. And it's like, you know, if you see a rock in the middle of the road that's big enough to go pick it up and throw it off, then just do it.
Well, I can tell you one of the Collins family there got black rubber all over one of my exposed culverts down there.
Black rubber on the culvert? Yeah, we did that.
Yeah, I know. I had to have Larry go cover it back up.
Part of the problem is that all the equipment is broke.
Everything works out. Maybe we'll have something running this weekend. So, just a brief.
What's going on?
Okay, moving on to the item number 6 on our agenda, brief report of area responsibility by each board member. And there isn't anything I want to add, anything that we've talked about so far. So unlike last month where I probably took 15 minutes, this month I'm not going to do that. So I just got back from a two and a half week vacation in Hawaii with my wife to celebrate our 40th wedding anniversary. So I've only been back for a couple of days, so I haven't had a chance to get back into ranch mode. That'll be happening this coming week.
You don't take the ranch with you on vacation?
Oh, I did take the ranch. I took some of the ranch with me on vacation, trust me. Okay, so moving on to Kurt, who is not here. So.
I thought of something else.
Oh, go ahead.
So the garden has been started. Everyone is welcome to partake when it bears fruit or vegetables, as the case may be. We've got peppers and tomatoes and watermelon and cantaloupe and pumpkins and cucumbers and peas and squash and zucchini and other stuff.
Okra?
Even some herbs. I don't think there's okra. Sorry. But spinach and lettuces. But it takes an awful lot to get a new garden really producing. So if anybody has time, they would like to come and water, weed, plant, whatever. It would be really appreciated. So that's it. So volunteers. Hey, how about volunteering at the garden? We have one work camper who has been amazing, and we love her. And then we have a new work camper coming July 1st. And it looks like I'm going to have to fill in the rest this year. If you know of anybody that has an RV that would like to spend some time on the ranch, it's a great opportunity. Contact me. That's all I got.
Hey, thank you, Cindy. Moving on to Joe.
Jennifer just informed me she can't get into the bank either. Maybe it's not there anymore.
It blew away.
Bank blew away.
The money.
One thing I had was cabin 4, and Scott said he's working on it, so nothing else new going on except cabin 4 going to be finished up soon, hopefully. That's all I got.
I have a request. Joe, with money coming in excess of what we had thought.
Yeah.
We've been doing a tremendous job with the workers, Cindy, and everybody, putting and Kathy, trying to put some time in to get the cabins up to spec. And there's nothing worse than dribble, 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 and it's still not done. I would like say, I know cabins 2, 3, and 4 all have new beds. That is awesome. I know 6 and 7, I don't know, part 8 maybe, has new beds. I think money coming in, it should be allocated to get that done, and this is the year it's done. From now to 5, 6 years, we can look at it that way. Redo what we need to do, get those refrigerators, and I don't think they were ordered. Joe and I looked, and they were a really good price, but the deal went off June 8th. I was on vacation as well, so I don't know the follow-up. But I think part of that money, because it is coming from a reservation of the cabin, should help us get to the cabins at a little higher level. So if not, well, 9 and 10, we'll work on them last year. Well, it didn't happen. We'll work on them maybe next year. It's always putting off. We've never had a threshold that said, we're here. This is good. Little things need to be done. It is really imperative that we get the cabins, the maintenance, and everything else going the way it should be. And that's my request. Some of that money put into the cabins. And I'm not talking about roads. I'm talking about the cabins. That's where it's coming from.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. 100%.
And to say, it was great to hear that. But it's always stopped because we can't do this. We can't do this. They need floors in some of them. They need almost there with all the beds. I mean, they're all new beds also in the garden cabin. So we're doing really good.
Yeah.
But we're not there yet. And I would like to be there and be that a goal of the board this year to say it's coming in. This is what we're going to have for next year, and it'll be good. Anyway, that's my passion.
No, I agree with you. That would be the appropriate use of those funds.
Mike?
Yeah.
I have a suggestion. You know, a lot of these things that are still hanging is because mostly we've depended on volunteers. We've had a limited budget. We've had volunteers. But if this movie thing does come to pass, that's 32,000. Instead of volunteers, perhaps we can hire somebody to do it. You can only put so much demands on volunteers. You can't order them to do anything. They're volunteering. And we've had such a tight budget that we didn't really have enough money to do a whole lot with the contractors.
Yeah,
but to her point there, she'd like to see, since we're getting this money, we hope, maybe we can do something a little more positive instead of trying to ask everybody to pitch in.
Now, you're right, John, and I know Kurt absolutely has that same mindset. You know, Kurt is willing to pay money for, you know, cabin improvements for things that are appropriate. So, yeah, exactly. But I like what Candy's saying because, you know, we're going to have a chunk of money, you know, this year we can use on cabins. So it would be appropriate for us to sit down, and that should happen, you know, obviously with Kurt here, so we could be part of the planning process. We already have plans for all the cabins. What you're saying is let's get them done.
Started a threshold here, and just little things from there, and the budget can be used for other things later because we've accomplished what the members need.
Yep.
So, anyway.
The timing is
going
to be absolutely critical on all of that. If you shut them down in September and October, then you're snowed in about late November, and then they're opening back up around March. So you got about a 1 month window on either side of the season to do anything. You're going to have to decide which one is going to take out a rotation when, schedule it, get it, everybody wants, who's going to do what when, out to get their captain back online. Otherwise, it's always going to be a detailed situation because you're throwing a few hours here and a few hours there in the narrow window that you have to do anything. So, I mean, I don't know what that's going to look like, but logistics is actually your biggest problem.
Yeah, and for those of you on Zoom, that's Kevin Poole saying that we need to utilize the fringe time just right at the very end of the year and at the beginning of the year, at the end of the season, at the beginning of the season, to get all the work done on the cabin, to get it scheduled, get it done.
Thank you. That's what I was hovering. Everybody yep. out here, I'm hearing on Zoom that if you speak from your seats, they can't hear you at all. So if you're doing more than a question that the board can't just repeat, come on up to the microphone. So everybody on Zoom.
Okay, thank you, Kevin.
John Harris.
Could there be like a committee then that assists Kurt, Kevin, Cindy, I'm just saying,
yeah,
the kind of idea is, you know what's happening, Kathy, in the cabins,
yeah.
and just kind of have it for priority. When we can do it, like you said, September, October, they're all booked now yeah. by this production couple. And, but there are things that have people here that are able to do jobs, and they're still able to do it. Even though it's October and the cabins are closed, there's a period of time that can be worked.
Yeah.
But that is something that somebody needs to be on top of. Someone's got to organize it.
Yep.
What do we need to do? What is happening to these lower cabins? With that in mind, I think a push can be done. But anyway, and we need to do something to assess that. But it needs to be done, as Kevin said.
It seems to me that we could just shut one down and complete it.
That's
well,
right.
Our problem is we got a lot of incompletes.
Yeah, we need to finish
a lot of incompletes. If you go through and finish it before you jump to another, you can shut one cabin down. That's one cabin out of 10. Okay, it's out of service, no matter what month it is, in the middle of summer. But if you're dependent on volunteers, it may not get complete. If you hire somebody, he can just go through there and finish it. Now, I know a guy who might. I'm maybe speaking out of turn, but that's Matthew Cox. He's a contractor. He's very fast and he's very good. He happens to be the son of the Beans, who have three properties out here. And he left the company he was working with and started his own company now. I might be able to talk to him and see if he's interested. I don't know if he's interested.
Well, that'd be a starting point. That would be a good starting point. If he's not interested, then we're going to go a different direction. But contact, and that's great. And then we can have our group that basically puts it together. What do we want him to do? Because that would be a question that is.
We just need to shut it down and just do it. You know.
Offering to two cabins. We're here.
It was more comfortable to stay seated, but it's not getting recorded.
This is Tina Collins, 121. We've been offering for years to help with cabins. And we're here, we live here. Just need the green light.
Yeah, whatever we do, we just need to shut the... My opinion, this is only my opinion, shut it down and get it done. And don't stop until it's finished.
Well, we need to... Well, first of all, Kurt needs to be involved, because Kurt's the one that's been spearheading the cabin renovations. And he needs to be involved. And I think it's a good goal to try to get everything that we possibly can done at the end of this year and at the beginning of next year before the season opens. Okay.
I'd like to make a comment because yeah. the $32,000 keeps being thrown around like that's how much money we have. We don't. We have half of that. Just
saying.
Back to that, we have half of that because the other half has been budgeted and is
gotcha.
Normal operations money.
Okay, John Harris, we are on to you.
Okay. I talked to Larry Clarkson actually last year, and since he's virtually been on every road out here working on them at one time or another, and probably built the originals on an awful lot of them. as you know, I'm gone through the winter, and I said, you know, Larry, just go ahead. He sees what needs to be done, and I said, just take care of it, because he's fair with me. He knows better than anybody else out here about the road. I authorized him to go ahead. He's done an awful lot. And by the way, he's done it, in my opinion, less money than I've had to pay others to do it per hour. And he also throws in a lot of freebies with them. A lot more than even I know, let alone everybody else out here. So, number one, the county came out and took care of Meadow Canyon. That's the first time that I remember that they actually went through there and did some work on Meadow Canyon all the way up through the gate. And by the way, I'll add to that, if you go up, going out into the National Forest now, the road is good. Oh, it's dusty now, but it's wide. They're clearing trees out of there. It's been the best that I've seen it in a long time. So the county did do that, and the county did finally grade our road there. Larry has graded up through a slide over there, and he's went all the way up the road past Tammy Levitt's. It's going up to the Red Cabin, or up a lot, 210 in that area there. I drove up there, and that's up past the cinder pit. I just was up there a week ago, and it looks really good. He's come down through pipeline and did a bunch of work there, and he's done some cover work. He's rounded some corners. He's done quite a few things. Quite a few things up there. And so it all looks good to me, and the price was very reasonable. He will continue as he can on other things. I haven't driven around since I got back looking at things. I got back late this year. My pickup is still in the shop in Parker, Arizona, and it'll be finished this week. I had trouble getting parts for it, so I got to go back to Parker, Arizona, and get my truck now. They've had it for 3 months. I may not be able to afford to get it back. But anyway, so I haven't run around and looked. If any of you people have something that really bothers you, giving you heartburn in your area, you need to let me know. Yes.
Between you and Larry, how's it going with, or maybe I had the wrong people, the new rerouting of the gravel?
Well, Larry can probably answer that, but we haven't started that. But I will add that Larry did cut off some going up through Crawford there, kind of a tight turn area, and he made a shortcut through there and made that probably a lot safer for certain vehicles are going on it, maybe pulling a big trailer or something through there. But Larry can answer that question better than I can about the road going through. Larry?
We haven't started the bypass. Kathy was going to talk a little bit about the gravel pit operations that kind of got put on hold because of one of Brad's crew members had COVID and ended up passing away. So it's kind of thrown Brad's schedule into a tailspin, and my schedule's been in a tailspin. The bypass road is a fairly major project. It's something that I've kind of planned and talked for 5 or 6 years with Brent Fulmer and Kurt and others. It's something that needs to be done, but it's not a one-day job, but it's a fairly big job. It will be something I'll continue to work on as we develop the gravel pit, and we'll just have to do what we need to as a temporary situation to keep people safe and produce some rock. The other road that John was mentioning is actually over in Crawford Canyon. It's the old original Pioneer Road that goes through the two lots that the association owns, 74 and 75.
most members don't even know what's over there, the little ponds that exist. The road was changed years ago that made some bad blind corners and some steep hills. And if you're pulling a trailer, it's very washboardy and unsafe. So I went ahead and opened up the old original road, partially because of people coming and going, pulling trailers. And as we get more and more people over there, specifically the pools live full time up there now. And I think they could probably say it's very obvious, especially in wintertime, the old road that I reopened, you can travel fairly easily. The way the road existed was completely impassable because it drifts maybe 5 to 6 feet deep in snow. And so you can't get around that corner for several months of the year. There's two or three other spots over in Crawford that I plan on working on in the future. On beyond, it's actually not Crawford. Maybe some of you don't even know, but Pool's Place is one of the last places that's technically in Crawford. There's another canyon called Gravel Canyon and another canyon called Birch Canyon. Phil Hall is not in Crawford. Dan Wirt's property is not in Crawford. There are several canyons and points of the ranch that most people don't even know about, and they, in error, call it, well, that's Slide Canyon. Half of the properties that people think are in Slide Canyon are actually in Broad Hollow. And half the properties that are in what everybody says Crawford is not Crawford Canyon. Crawford Canyon comes right down between Pools and Meadow Canyon and down past the Beauzais and back out the Meadow Canyon. And everything beyond that is birch and gravel and Horse Hollow and Podunk. There's a lot more places on the ranch than people even know.
What? Is there any questions? Well, there's no questions, and I'm done for now.
I'm going to chime in because it has to do with the road, which is under John. But we are still working on the signing improvements to get additional signing on all the roads. And that's just in process, all I can tell you.
Okay, I just lied. I'm not finished. The signage reminds me. This has to do with safety. And safety on the roads. And we're hoping that the signage is going to be a big help. And at any rate, we won't be hearing people say that it's not posted, so they think they can still think they can drive their side by sides. And it seems to me like some people, and I'm not going to point at anybody, but some people bring their razors out here. They might have been a mild-mannered bookkeeper back home. But when they get here with those things, they think they're Mario Andretti, race car driver. And you want to drive like a bat out of hell on the road. I almost got hit with one coming out of the pond just yesterday. He didn't even look. He just coming straight down from, I assume, the upper cabin. She's in the Jeep, and he was turning into her, and he cut. Instead of pulling out, he just cut the corner and goosed her. There's a lot of that going on. And we just need, if you have those things, it's still 25 miles an hour. And it's just not a place to have your jackrabbit starts. When they come to a certain area there, they think, going uphill, they think they got to goose it. And when they goose it, They come sideways, and they're sometimes coming sideways at you. You've all heard it. I've been run off the road. My wife's been run off the road. Mike's been run off the road. And I don't know how many others, have been run off the road. And if you have families that come up here to visit and they happen to bring some of their toys with them, just remind them that this is not a race. It is where we all live. It's where we have cattle out here, and sometimes we have little kids. I come down, and this guy was driving very nice, but he had a little quad, and he had two kids on there with him. Somebody comes around a corner and spinning sideways, and some of them are laughing. I've had them to laugh because they come around sideways. Somebody hits that guy that has those two little kids, you know. I'm going to shut up, but we need to slow down. And that's it.
Okay, any questions for John? All right, Kathy, your turn.
I wanted to talk a little bit about the gravel pit, like Larry said. The guy that was going to be coming out and hauling gravel at the dump truck got COVID. So we were trying to work so we could still do the gravel hauling, and then Kurt got sick, and we had John and a few, Brent said that they'd come and help with the hauling with the equipment, ranch dump truck and your equipment. But with everything that happened, we just buried Lou, who was going to come out here a week ago Friday. And so it put Brad in a situation of his work at home and trying to make sure that he gets his work there taken care of. So he's trying to work in a couple of weeks to try to do something. He'll keep in touch with Larry and try to get something, and then we'll post it again on Facebook and let you guys know, because he does want to try to help out. As far as my area of responsibility, everything's good as far as I'm aware of with the lower cabins. I did have a question for you, Larry. Were you able to find anything out?
I tried to get a hold of...
On Chapter 5 is what I'm talking about, on that Podunk Road.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Brinkerhoff, and couldn't reach anybody that would call me back and... It's technically their private property. I don't really understand or know what. I think Deer Springs has some form of right-of-way to drive in and out of there that's been established by time, but I don't know that we can just go do something without their blessing. So that's why we've been kind of...
I talked to Barry at one point in time, and he said there's a form that's been put in place. It's called Chapter 5. And that gives us the right to maintain those roads. But we've had such a problem with that road washing out every couple of years. And right now it's really bad.
Yeah, and I know Ross got upset about it because they have the water line that comes down through there. Yeah. And years ago when it wasn't me and it wasn't anybody that even exists now, but the ranch did some improvements there, but ended up breaking or damaging the water line, and so that's where some hurt feelings were caused, and so that's when they got a little defensive, saying don't touch.
With you working with him, maybe we could try to...
I think if we can go in there...
A road that's more straight away instead of an S-curve causing that damage.
Right.
I'm thinking that we'd probably be able to resolve the whole problem.
Yes.
And so that's what I'd like to see happen if we can.
I'll follow up and get a hold of them and coordinate with them, private owners, with John on roads, and Kurt, just because he keeps looking at me funny. I don't know why.
That's just Kurt.
I was looking past at the guy in the cowboy hat.
So, Kathy, we're still on Kathy. So, are you done, or did you have more to add?
Yeah, that was one of my questions. So.
Okay.
Great.
So, Kurt, for the people on Zoom, Kurt was not here at the beginning of the meeting because he was off taking care of ranch business, fixing a cabin, but now he's back. So, Kurt, we'll give you the opportunity to give a property management update. Cindy gave us a little bit, but the main thing I want you to talk about, because Candy made the comment since we're getting some extra revenue in from the film production company on the cabin rentals this year, Candy made the suggestion to try to use that money, or a portion of that money at least, to try to get the cabins finished as soon as possible. And John made the suggestion that rather than relying on volunteer work, that if it's appropriate, we should be willing to pay some money to hire people to do it. Jeff and Tina said that they have offered to do work on the cabins.
I've already, cabin 9 and 10, we have in the works. I have $32,000 in the budget. $5,000 of that is set aside for outside labor.
Yep.
And, I mean, if we could get more out of that revenue that's coming in for the cabins, I think that'd be awesome, because Jeff and Tina are very fast.
I think the consensus of opinion of everybody here is that it's a good idea to try to use some of that revenue to get the cabins done ASAP. And Kevin made the comment that we only have a limited amount of time to really work on cabins at the end of the season or at the beginning of the season, and that it's very important that we get everything planned and scheduled and done.
Right.
So just wanted to have you hear that. All right, anything you wanted to add in terms of...
Well, I'd like to get the revenue before we count.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
You are exactly right. This is going to be after we receive the money.
Yeah. Chicken's hatching thing, right?
Yeah.
I have a question.
John.
So, if and when we get the $32,000 from the cabin to the production company, only part of it can go to the cabins. Is this what I'm understanding?
Well, we haven't decided what we're going to do with that money yet. We're just suggesting that we should use.
He's over what I said. I think he's responding to what I had said. And
okay.
The point was that in excess revenue, it's not $32,000 of excess revenue. It's about half of that will be excess over what we normally.
That's about double what we would be getting if we rented it out.
Right.
Now I understand.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking, well, why can't it all go?
It all can. I'm just saying, I don't want people to say, oh, because of this production company, now we have X dollars, when it's really half that.
Yeah. Again, I'd like to just see us, we shut the thing down. I mean, shut a cabin down right there. Don't care.
Yeah.
If it's during rental time out here, shut one down at a time and just do it. And then put it back online and then start another.
But that would help in
completing
projects. We have
cabin 4 that's not finished, and we have cabin 7. I'm not 100%. Is it completely finished? Or is it?
Do we still have?
I got some stays I just cut. And it will be finished. I got a couple things in there to do.
Okay, and it's, how about number 6?
Done.
Number 8 haven't started.
Right.
We're buying refrigerators.
We're not till we have a place to put them.
And power for them, right?
And, well, when we have power for them, then we have a place to put them.
Oh, these are going to. That's right. I think these are going to be electric. And they're going to run off the solar, and that's coming out of that
building up there. And I said in the executive meeting, we got to get that building on top of the footings and get those welded in place. And then Brent can move forward, but there's nothing to be done until the building's placed.
Brent looks too comfortable to move. Okay. That was just my concern. We got the money coming in, and we already have some assigned. Why don't we just shut one down and do it?
Well, it's not that sounds pretty cut and dry.
Well, yeah,
but you know, some of the stuff.
That's quite the question.
Yeah, it's not always about the money. It's about the work that's being done or getting the materials to do the work. I've been waiting on, I need 10 sticks of trim from finish the trim on four. And Scott's working on the four for cabin four.
There's only 10 sticks, by the way. Why can't we just get a little longer?
Well, because it's getting us something that matches what we've already got in there.
But I understand that.
I'm at the point where I'll just go to Tree Value and buy it there and get it done.
Yeah.
But I'd like to shut it down for the day when he and I can both get it.
You won't hear, but my suggestion is stop the volunteer stuff, depending on it. I'm not that, it's not that we can't, but if we get a contract, so we don't want volunteers getting in the way. That's my way of thinking on it. Up to you guys. I'm not,
I don't know. Pat, where are you going to get a contract?
Well, they would do it. I mentioned that I would ask Matthew Cox since he started a new company, and that's what he does. So
we got
the call, huh?
Remodeling again.
He does remodeling.
So I'm just asking.
Yeah. Yeah. He does remodeling, and he builds brand new.
Okay.
And he's dependable.
If we can afford to hire contractors,
well, that's what I'm suggesting. We use $32,000 for coming in and use it on the cabin because it's big revenue coming.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's move on.
Candy's got a question.
Oh, go ahead, Candy.
Keep talking about the $32,000. I know there are times where we thought money was going to come in and whoops, didn't happen. Do we have a contract with this company that they put a deposit down that
yep.
is not fundable?
Yes.
So that
they're going to pay in advance. Before they occupy the cabins, they'll be paid in advance.
But they're reserving it now.
Yep.
Have they put any money down that is non-fundable, regardless of all the others, is what I'm saying. Do we have anything?
So I had
they're reserving.
I had to present to the board their proposal. So I have blocked the cabins out because obviously it would be hard to block if we let reservations in. So I had to present to the board their payment schedule, which is a 10% down, non-refundable, half before they get here, half when they get here.
Because, I mean,
yep.
it's nice talking about money,
yeah.
but things have
know.
Fallen out before.
Oh, yeah.
And then we have nothing. We're reserving.
Yeah. And I don't know if you want me to mention the Southern Utah University one as well.
Go ahead.
We had another fabulous option come our way this summer. Southern Utah University, their history department chair, I'm not sure really what her title is, but her name is Jackie Grant. She owns a lot here. And she has brought out, I think to this point, three groups of students doing pollination studies out here on the ranch with two or three more to come in 2 weeks, but they're here right now. And she, because she's a member and because it's an educational institution, rather than charge them the $145 a night, we just charge the extended member rate. So instead of $25 a night, $45 a night, instead of $30 a night, $65 a night. So we did get some additional revenue. It's not nearly as significant as this movie project. We did get some additional revenue out of that as well than we normally would with a regular cabin night. So we're actually ahead of our cabin budget even without
If you're curious why all the board members are driving new vehicles.
And Cindy looks exhausted.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, I think we're on to Mr. Larry Clarkson.
You're done, Kurt. Okay, a couple things I just wanted to add and clarify. We've done quite a cleanup project around the fish ponds, trying to clean out willows and brush and muck. It looks pretty good. Now we just need to do a better job of keeping the cows out of there. I've talked with Kevin Ballard, and I'm going to try to pull the cattle guard this week and clean it out. And actually, John had a really good suggestion, kind of similar. I was brainstorming what we could do to that cattle guard to make it a little more fearsome looking. The cows, if you train a cow to walk over a cattle guard, doesn't matter what you do in the future, they learn that you're just trying to
create an optical illusion, and they'll still walk over them or attempt to or jump them. So we're going to do a couple things on the upper pond cattle guard to make it a little more difficult for the cows to get across. I have had some really good comments about people enjoying fishing. I don't know. Was anything said before Kathy about Mark Cram passing away?
I think we did discuss it last month.
I don't know if anybody's aware, mainly the Podunk people, but Mark Cram, Val Cram's son, who was kind of one of the old timers of the ranch, passed away. It's been a month and a half ago or so, but excuse me. I was working. At the ponds this last week, and had about a 2-hour conversation with Kevin Graham, Mark's brother. I don't know if anybody, Kathy knows Kevin. But we just reminisced about kind of growing up here on the ranch. And some of the silly and stupid, crazy things that kids do. Mark actually drove his dad's Wagoneer off the dam of the pond. And that's where I was pushing a bunch of the willows. And so we had a kind of a laugh about that. And Val, some of the things that Val used to do. And along with being one of my dad's main salespersons and the ranch manager and a member of the board president for years, Val was also my scoutmaster. And Mark was a few years younger than me, but because his dad was a scoutmaster, he came along with us on many of our little scout adventures, and we camped several places here on the ranch, and I still run into kids that I grew up with that only came to Deer Springs as an overnight camp or a 2 or 3 day camp trip, but they still remember some of the fun things we did, hiking up and camping at the gravel spring up beyond Phil Hall's Bear Hollow Ranch. Anyways, good to see Kevin, and I know they talked about having a memorial, some type of deal out at Podunk at Lot 2. And I think they still plan to do that sometime in the future. So any of the ranch members that knew that family, I'm sure you'll be notified of when that happens. I hope that you, as new members, whether it's 2 months ago, 2 years ago, 20 years ago, 40 years ago, create memories with your kids. I know Joe and Candy and their family have great, great memories of the kids growing up, coming up here and escaping. What I would consider a miserable life in Las Vegas. Not that their life is miserable, but if I had to live in Las Vegas area,
it'd be miserable.
I'd be miserable. And I know we're going to see more and more people that are wanting to get away to the ranch for a weekend, to the ranch for a month, to the ranch for the rest of their life. And I hope that we as a ranch family, we as the board, and we as individual members can work together with each other to create good relations, good neighbor relations, and good working relations. So it's not always something that individual, I would say, I would call it a high maintenance type person. This is not the place for a high maintenance person or somebody that's always looking for what is the ranch going to do for me, or what is the board going to do for me, or what is the road guy John going to do for me. I scratched my Beamer, or I got a bump, or I got a flat tire because you're not taking care of the roads. Like Mike said, stop your car, stop your ATV, get out, and take your kids or your wife or your husband or your dog for a walk for a mile on a ranch road and pick up every rock that's bigger than a baseball and throw it off in the trees. Don't just complain about, you know, there was too many rocks or too much, you know, a branch scratched my truck. I know of a particular branch that Mike stopped and cut. And I left it there intentionally to see who will cut when a limb or a part of a tree starts encroaching in the road, how many people will complain about it and who will stop and cut it. And believe it or not, I'm on these roads all the time, all the time, all the time. And a lot of times I stop and pick up stuff, or I grade stuff, or I fix stuff. And sometimes I leave things totally intentionally to see how long will that rock stay there. How many people will hit it and complain about it, and hit it and complain about it, and hit it and complain about it? And it makes me laugh, because usually then I'll go put two rocks so they don't have another room to move around it. And if it takes three rocks or four rocks or a whole line of rocks before somebody finally stops and moves them. So I hope you're the kind of people that move rocks.
Sunshine moved a lot of them yesterday.
People like Kevin Cram, who we still have, and Mark Cram, who we don't have, are rock movers. Anyway, I've cried enough.
Thank you, Larry.
Hey, Larry, on a lighter note, I have a concern with you and when you're talking to Kevin the other day by the ponds, and we determined that Kevin was prettier than Mark.
Yeah. Well, I think anybody on the ranch that you spend some time with and learn who they are, where they came from, what's their area of expertise, and maybe they have no area of expertise. Maybe they're totally clueless, but they're out here to learn something. Maybe they can learn from you. Maybe they can learn from me. Maybe I can learn from you. And that's what it's going to take, especially in this ever-increasing crazy world. I used to think it was a crazy world, but our country was fine. And now I think the world's crazy. Our country's crazy. And it's going to take each one of us to help make it a better situation instead of make it a worse situation. So, anyway, that's my speech.
Thank you, Larry. Any questions for Larry?
I got something to say, though. My son works at the Mandalay Bay, and he knows somebody there that has an RV camper, and the batteries have gone bad, sulfated. And that gentleman, I don't know what his name is, ended up buying a bottle of this stuff, put it in his RV camper, and his 48 hours or 4 days later, the battery came back to life. And that's been about 3 months, and it's been working really good. So I called Brent, because our solar panels are going bad on our solar batteries. And he put some of this in one of his batteries. It has come up a little bit, but not enough yet.
The
Now, that battery he's working on might be older than him. So it's not going to fix every battery, but we're trying it.
What that takes is 9 ounces for an L16 battery. An L16 battery is 16 inches tall, roughly 8 inches long, 8 inches wide, and it takes 9 ounces of that. There's 24 2-volt cells in each one of those 48-volt battery packs. They're at least equal to a L16 battery, each one of those 2-volt cells. That means if you put 9 ounces in each one, that means you need 3 bottles of that for every 4 batteries. And that would be $60 times 4 times 24 batteries. That's $2 battery packs, that's $720. And if it don't work, that's $720.
That you're not going to use, and you're throwing it away. And the batteries would cost about $5,000 to replace. But we were trying it on one of his batteries, and we'll see what happens. We'll try it on another battery. Anybody got a 6-volt battery that's questionable, we can pour it in there and see what happens. You can't. On a battery, on an acid battery, there's only one thing you can add to it. That's distilled water. You can never add more acid to a battery because you'll flood it and kill it. But now this stuff's come out. You can use this instead of distilled water. That's the only thing you can add to a battery without doing more damage. So.
And for those on Zoom, this is called Therm Oil Battery Desulfator. That's what we're talking about. Therm Oil Battery Desulfator.
And I think this was like $23.
That I got. I searched around and got the best deal I could. It was $20, a little over $20. And
yeah. So we thought it'd be worth a chance, a gamble to see what happens. But we'll see.
Well, Kurt was telling me, Don Reed, Lottie King. Kurt was telling me that one starts smoking out here. My daughter-in-law's father that really knows these solar traders a lot is coming today, so we're going to come out the next couple of days and check that out to see. There's a lot of time the acidity gets on those batteries and they start conducting across from each other.
Yeah.
And so if they're not kept clean, they'll start smoking. But Mike's going to check. We're going to come down. And he also said we want to take her down. And then I got a cord that you hook the generator up to them and bring them back up on the generator because the solar won't bring them back up. So we're waiting to take them down. So Mike's been looking at it.
Yeah, the top of the battery is really critical. People don't realize it. The battery gives off a chemical, and it forms and falls back down and dust sticks to it. You get a voltmeter and touch it to the deposited post, and then use the other meter and touch it somewhere on the battery. You can show a voltage drop, not even going to the negative post. So that's got to be washed off, or it will kill itself. Yeah. If they aren't cleaned off, it automatically drains down.
We'll check this out this week and see if we can take it.
Well, thank you for doing that.
No problem. And then he's also going to talk about how sometimes it's not. They got 50,000 watts of solar there. There's no way you're going to turn around and put 50,000 watts of solar in those batteries with using them all. Okay? So Mike should talk to us about maybe dropping down and still having 2 of those batteries for 50,000, drop to 1 battery on the unit and keep it charged up that way. Because it's like a water tank. If you got a 100,000-gallon water tank, you know, not putting enough water in, you're taking it out, it never gets full. And so it's the same thing on the battery. So sometimes the battery doesn't pull back. So I should talk to Kurt about maybe dropping 1 battery and get, you know, and instead of using 2 on it. Because it's an over. When they made those, we researched them a lot, but they've overkilled those trying to do them, saying they're going to do something or not. They won't do it. They only produce the 270 watt panels on there, 70 watts. So we watch them. We're only getting sometimes on a full day, but the sun comes out, we get 1,000 hours and 2,700. And that's when the sun's here. So when you're using them, they'll drop down, and so they're not, and if they don't come back up charged fully, then it messes the batteries up.
Yeah, he's 100% correct. If the battery gets below if it loses 20% of its charge, that battery automatically loses one recycle day. So if you got a 5-year battery and it's that way for a year and a half, you've just lost a year and a half of battery life.
So if you don't bring it back up to charge,
so it's got to be fully charged or you lose one cycle day.
That's why the battery, we got to, that's why sometimes you need to bring a generator in and bring them all the way back up. By the external cord, not the soul.
Okay, we are done with our formal agenda, so I'll open it up, see if anybody has any questions on anything we haven't talked about. Candy.
Question. Is there anything in the plans the works to do this July 11th meeting?
Nice.
Okay. Get going with something. Do we need to, now that she's going to be able to get her internet back up and everything, should we do a pretty good push for this meeting?
The answer is yes, we should. And that's something I should have brought up, just to encourage everybody to come and participate. We're going to have some materials to hand out, but really the main benefit out of that meeting is just going to be questions and answers. So, yes, I'll work with Jennifer to get something sent out, try to prime the pump a little bit to encourage everybody to participate. So thank you. That's a good suggestion.
And we're going to do a barbecue potluck.
So people far away.
Right. Yeah. Well, hopefully everybody already knows about it and has been encouraged to come. But yeah, but we need to push it.
That's the day of our regular board meeting. Also.
Yeah. Correct. Yep. So the format is going to be similar to the annual meeting. So we'll have our normal executive meeting first, and then we'll have the normal board meeting, and then we'll break, and we'll have a nice lunch, potluck, just like we do at the annual meeting. And then we'll have the question and answer town hall session. It'll be basically part with the lunch and then staying after as well.
Could you, is there anything else? There are people that have not been to a meeting to know about that.
Right.
Such as Scott. So, could you say a little bit more about what kind of week? July 9th starts at 10. What you're doing with it so the general public might understand more?
Yep. Okay, so Candy is asking me to just explain kind of what our plans are for our meeting in July 9th, for our next board meeting / town hall. And it's going to be, for anyone who's been at an annual meeting, it's going to be a format similar to that, where we'll have the board meeting first. Board meeting usually takes about an hour, hour and a half, just like we're doing today. Only today, I think we're a little long. But we'll have the normal board meeting, and then we'll have a break. Kurt is going to make us a nice, hot main dish.
Meat.
It'll be hot meat.
Hot meat.
It's kind of like that cookie on, what's that movie with Billy Crystal?
City Slickers.
City Slickers, yeah. The food's brown, it's hot, and there's plenty of it.
Yeah.
So it'll be a good main course from Kurt, and then everybody is asked to bring a side dish, whether it's a salad or dessert or something to share. So it'll be a potluck similar to the type that we normally do at our annual meeting in September. And then after the board meeting, my hope is that we're going to have people here, a good combination of newcomers, new lot owners that have lots of questions. You know, what do I do about power? What do I do about solar? What do I do about water and all the rest of it? And then we'll also have lots of old timers here that have already done all that. And as we all know, there's frequently more than one way to do something. So hopefully we'll have lots of existing owners that have, that can provide information and suggestions on what they've already done on their lots to provide water and power, et cetera, et cetera.
Now, there's the right way and the wrong way and my way.
So that's the goal. And again, we encourage, if you can be here in person at the ranch for the meeting on July 9th, we certainly encourage that. Okay.
And if any of the member matters, you know the last
one. Yep. Gotcha. Okay, so any other questions or comments before we adjourn?
Yeah, I don't want to drag the meeting out any longer, but like that the project is still the slash file, you know, for fire suppression. So what board members' area of responsibility would that fall in?
Slash file?
Fire prevention?
That'd be fire prevention.
I'm on fire, but what slash file are you talking about?
The long one at the gravel pit.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know anything about that thing except people have been piling junk there for years. And
at the last meeting, Brian had a suggestion that we push it into one of those ravines. And then Mike Jorgensen was concerned about stuff we put in the ravines get washed down to plug something else up that you don't see. And so we never really came to a resolution on that.
So nature is kind of provided us a place to put slash near where it is now, and it's a ravine that's
self-enclosed.
Has some incursion back into the meadow, so the genesis of the ravine is right there. So it can be used to slash in and fill it. But all we need is some time, maybe, you know, for where the quick slack and then a process where the branch would then.
It seemed to me we need to quit putting stuff there because it's been put in there for many years.
The pile, yeah, well, I think we have to get rid of the pile because we're never going to burn it because of the risk.
Ideally, we had one of those machines that's like they're using up the National Forest riding those trees.
I think if we wait till this winter and get some snow on the ground, we really should go ahead and burn that entire pile.
Honestly, there's no reason why that did not get burned last winter, except I forgot about it.
Well, I think what he's saying, though, is he's saying that to have a place for us to put stuff in, but we don't have any place to put stuff in. We're not supposed to put stuff in.
There is a wash that he's talking about, and that's a good idea, but it can't just be thrown in the wash because that wash is there because of why? Massive amounts of water.
But what I'm saying, right now at this point, we don't have any place, and we got rubble and stuff, we haul it to the trash. We don't have a place to dump our twigs and trees and stuff like that, right?
Dig a hole?
Well,
we dig a hole?
See, that's a common problem at the ranch. We have ranch equipment, but it doesn't work. We can't use it. We have a gravel pit, but you can't get gravel. We have a slash pile, but you can't use the slash pile. I mean, let's solve it. We'll just come up with another process for it.
On one side of that, you know, we're asking people to do fire abatement, to be responsible, and to clean up their slash, but it's pretty inconceivable to drive a slash pile to town because it's 80 miles round trip. And I think that we should create an area, and this is something that needs to be looked at, an area where people can take slash. So not where they can't take it, but where we can take it, and where we can burn.
I've been driving down there, and I just want to present an idea to somebody on the board that can take it.
So in the past several years, John has kind of had the responsibility of roads, and wrapped into that have been a lot of things that, just because it's sort of kind of related to roads, he's the gravel pit guy. And because the rabbit brush along the sides of the roads is kind of related to the roads, that's his problem too. And because that's safety, that's his problem too. And he's got 20 or 30 different sort of kind of related things that related to roads in a way. So last month we talked about I will take over the responsibility of the gravel pit and coordinating that. I wouldn't mind also saying I'll do the fire, the slash, not fire abatement or his fire control stuff, but to create a slash pile where you've been talking about and using is the perfect place if we do it correctly, which is going to require some equipment. So, and since it's in the gravel pit area, I'll work with that. I'll take that on as one of my board member responsibilities and then create a slash pile committee, and you can be my main idea person to begin with.
And, okay, fine. Let's go.
And we'll
go for a ride and go pass it out.
Yeah.
You need a road to get in there, place for people to make a loop, and a place for them to dump the stuff, and a couple of signs.
Yeah.
You know, just as a note here, I took over the roads a few years ago, and but that was the only thing I had. It evolved to where now I have the roads. Okay, now you got the gravel pit. Oh, by the way, now you're the fire marshal, and then came security, then came safety. But during deer season, I would get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and be up at the back gate up there because hunters want to come in there and trespass. I put a lock and chain up there, and I had a very expensive chain that was that big around to lock it. They come in there and shot my lock off, and it was an expense, and it was my personal lock, my personal chain. But anyway, I ended up with that and had to be there, get up at 4 o'clock and be in the morning, go up there. And I've had an argument with a few of the hunters, and as you sit there and throw arguments back and forth why they can't come in. Okay, now you got Meadow Canyon, and now you got Pipeline. I know, what the hell? I signed up for the roads.
Well, Larry has volunteered to help out, so thank you for bringing that up, and I think we have a solution in process, in the future. That's because you're exactly right. We need to just get it done.
Station up on 14. Is there a way to find out what their process is? Is that county?
We can find out. It's probably part of the special service district. We can resolve it. It's not rocket science.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Those
are the pushes that even deeper, and then the last time we were up there, it's all gone, it's all burned. So who burned it? Is it the fire department that burned it?
Yeah, the county fire marshal. And they have talked about coming out. We've talked about Brent and Kurt and me different times, and either the index is wrong, which... Sometimes I want to say, hey, when the weather conditions, the ground and the snow and the moisture, let's burn it. Even if they can see a plume of smoke from Bryce Canyon, let's just get it burned. And
let them call the fire department.
Well, I'm trying to figure out if we can get somebody else to take control of it, like a county or somebody, to get it done. Maybe, because we have a whole bunch of stuff we want to do, but nowhere to put it.
Yeah.
Like, leave it on the trees.
Yeah, safer on the trees than it is cut off the trees
right laying
on the ground, right?
But if we had a plan in place, then everybody could start cleaning up their property that they have somewhere.
We can all have 20-acre parks.
I'm sure, Brent, you know, will Spencer be back out monitoring any of this other fire mitigation stuff? Maybe when he's out one day, we can meet with him. And
well, they're actually going to come out with a bunch of those piles, and they're going to pick a day. Spencer said burn that pile if we want help from him.
I would like help from him, other than the fact that people keep hauling garbage down there
and, you know, we got to go clean the garbage out of that pile before I'm going to let Spencer see it and try to burn it.
Yeah.
Because burning the garbage is no...
Is
there more again?
No, there's not, but there has been.
No dumping other than scrub?
No, we don't. We don't have a sign no dumping because... To me, it
should be common sense and courtesy and
logic. I agree. It is, but somebody's not catching it.
What? Uncommon sense.
Okay,
yeah.
So Brent, you're going to follow up with Spencer, and hopefully
I'm in contact with Spencer all the time.
Yep.
And he told me that when they come out, he said he will be more than happy to help us burn our big pile.
He's an awesome guy. He's really an awesome guy.
Problem, one of our big problems is people, members out here assume a lot of things. They see something over there, so they just start piling crap on it. Then they ask, why don't you do something about it?
Baby
snap.
Okay, I think we've got the problem fixed, figured out. We just need to make it happen. So we need to get rid of the existing slash pile that we already have, burn it. We'll get help from the county to do that. Larry's going to work on creating a new place in that same general area where people can go drop their slash, but not mattresses and garbage.
Organic brush limbs.
And we'll put up some signs to tell people what's going on. Okay, and some cameras. Some trail cams.
Right. Some booby traps.
Laser, machine gun.
Okay, any other questions? We're way over time. Any other questions?
We got the level 2 water assessment coming up.
Yep.
That's on the 28th.
Yep.
Is Jeff here?
No.
He's on Zoom.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm here.
We might have to take your little connection off the bottom of our J station for the day, because you can't have a hard connection to anything, and we'll take it off and put it back on. If the inspector is worth their salt, they'll see it. Let's see then. We got to fix the overflow pipe screen. Did you get a screen in the thing?
They didn't have any screens to play with.
Okay. Sorry. Well, before that happens, you've got to fix the screen. You got to fix the seal in the 40,000-gallon tank. Last time I came out, he was told that he can't go in the wall. So the next guy can't do the same thing. I mean, I want to fix them because they're important, but they're not critical because he's not going to go in the wall. He's not going to climb on the tank. Okay, Kurt, Vance has been monitoring the ranch house solar. We've been producing 13 kilowatts a day for the last little while. I know you don't have a heat lamp going anymore, and I don't have to write another person. Something ordinarily we generate 9.5 kilowatts a day. So for some reason or another, we've been up to 13. Could it be these people in the garden cabin have discovered the other outlet?
We're running that washer and dryer.
Doing a lot of work.
Almost all day, every day.
Okay.
I mean,
that makes sense. That makes sense.
With the cabins are full, that...
We're getting the flow. That's all I care about.
Okay.
I just want to find out what's been the, what's causing the spike up there. And so, anyway, but just... That level 2 assessment is a big deal.
I'm going to be here all week this coming week, so if you need help with anything, just let me know. Okay, any other questions? Then we are officially done for our meeting.